Thank you. Would you guys like me to stand up here or anywhere I like? I'm going to stand here. Thank you so much. You are a billionaire. You are. Not in dollars and cents, nothing you can touch and see, but you can spend it still the same. All you have to do is believe in the power of we. Right? We. I'll tell you my story. When I was born in 1968, the world around me was literally falling apart. Martin Luther King was fighting for racial equality. Nelson Mandela was fighting against apartheid. Gloria Steinem was fighting for women's rights. And the United States was fighting the Vietnam War. Everyone around me seemed to be fighting, but instead of fighting, I was dreaming. I was dreaming. I wasn't getting distracted, right? And I had big dreams. Dreams of inventing and creating, dreams of traveling the world and exploring, dreams of starting companies. In the 70s, many people thought those dreams were fantasy. There were so few examples of it in the real world, for any race, for any gender, but especially for a young black girl. But I knew in my heart and in my soul that my dreams mattered, and your dreams matter, and it is all possible. How? Well, first, I knew through God that we were all connected in this world, and no one could tell me differently. Could I do it alone? No. Could we do it together? Yes. Secondly, I believed in the creative power of faith. I did faith, right? I practiced faith. And one of the first main practices was believing that the people, my we, existed somewhere in the world, although I hadn't yet met them at that moment. I needed miracles, and they came in the form of other people showing up in the right way, providing resources, sometimes joining me on the journey, right? That is what made me the success that I am today. I got degrees from Cornell and Harvard. That in and of itself was a miracle, right? With the power of the we, I created 5 startups, from a backpack company to digital radio to a broadband internet company to a healthcare clinic, thank you, to a healthcare clinic in Ethiopia that's treated thousands of patients, right? I saw the world. I've traveled to nearly 50 countries, including South Africa, after apartheid, and had the pleasure of working with then President Nelson Mandela. It all seems impossible until it's done. That girl never gave up on her imagination. Not then, not now, not tomorrow, right? And I ask you not to give up on yours. Your imagination is the way that God prays to you. Don't ignore it. Is it hard? Yes. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. Faith isn't about it being easy. It's about it being possible. I suffered right? I suffered. I've lost sleep. I've lost money. I've lost health. I've been treated terribly and called many horrible names for being a woman, for being black, for being too young. I actually miss being called too young now, right? Your dreams are not free. And why should they be? Suffering is a price to pay. Patience, a virtue, and winning the best response. Winning, not fighting. Winning is the best response. What other people say are not facts, right? It's just opinions. You are the truth, right? We're in Chicago. Oprah is the truth. Nelson Mandela was the truth. Dr. Winston, he is the truth. Be your own truth, but still know that you cannot do it alone, right? From the place of me, you immediately put yourself in a box. One person's mind, one person's ability, one person's access to money. From the place of the powerful we, of you, plus your believers, non-believers need not apply, right? Need not apply. From that powerful we, not only is it all possible, it's doable. It's doable, right? From starting companies to I have even climbed a volcano, like Mount Etna, so I could experience the actual journey to the top of the mountain. I've put my life at stake to test how far faith can get me, right? So from starting companies to climbing Mount Etna, to being the first in your family maybe to get a college degree, to impacting your community, your school, to changing the world. From the place of we, you are a billionaire, right? We have hundreds of people in this room, thousands at the conference. There's 10 million in the Chicago area, 300 million in the United States. 600 million in Latin America, 700 million in Europe, 1 billion in Africa, over 4 billion in Asia, 7 billion in the world. In the currency of faith and connection, you have billions in your bank account, right? How are you going to spend it? You know, here we are sitting here thinking we are broke and we are billionaires. How are you going to invest faith? I pray that you invest it in your dreams, right? We are all in this together. Many times you only need one or two believers to get it all done. Miracles happen through other people. Your angels are sitting around you. If you're fighting, you're doing yourself a disservice. No one else, yourself. Just take the first step by saying with faith, to anyone that will listen, I have a dream. Thank you. Thank you. So I had compressed my talk because I could have gone a lot longer, but I just got back from Italy, and for the first time had the experience of engaging more with the audience. And I had asked Dolores and some of the others at the conference, if I could shorten what I say and have the chance to hear what you have to say and the questions that you may have. Because I know this is, we also have some of the business school students here, and I'm so excited. I did not know until I was invited to this conference that there was a business school founded on how I've lived my life. It's been such a lonely journey up till this point. So at this point, and maybe David, you can help me moderate. We can take any questions or comments from the audience.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. Yes. So what we'd like to do right now is we'd like to give you an opportunity to ask questions to Ms. Norwood. We want to give you the opportunity to do it in two different ways. First, we have digital, and then we have the paper and pencil, or paper and pen. And so what we can do is, for digital, if you would tweet your questions to MMPConf, C-O-N-F, MMPConf, C-O-N-F. So at MMPConf, C-O-N-F, and those should be showing a graphic shortly. And you can use hashtag MMPConf, and when you use that, we will get that question, and we will be able to gather those questions and go through as many questions as possible. So that's the first way. The second way is you can write your question down on your piece of paper, and if you write your question down and you have it, can you just hold it up for us, and we'll get one of our ushers to quickly grab that, and we'll gather that from you, and we'll try to go through as many questions as possible. And so we'll give you a couple minutes or a couple moments to do so, but you can tweet your questions once again to at MMPConf, C-O-N-F, or you can write your question down, hold it up to us, and we'll gather that question from you. So, two ways that you can do so. I think, do we have anybody who's ready with a question? Ready with a question?
There's a question over there, actually.
All right, and we have a question over here. So we have a question. We have a couple questions coming. All right. Thank you very much.
Can you read it?
Sure. Okay. How? Trying to decipher this. Who wrote this first question that I got? Come on over here. You know, sometimes you need the spirit of discernment to go ahead and decipher the questions. Yeah, we're bringing a microphone right to you. Thank you for your patience, everyone.
Day-to-day, for almost anything around a dream, I start with a story, and the story is usually anchored in what I see in the future, like the successful future of the dream. And usually me personally, doesn't have to come into the story. So it goes to you talking about what you imagine for that organization. You know, like what your future vision is for the organization, why you started it. If faith is part of why you started it, then be true to yourself and include that in the story. There'll be some, I mean, there's billions of us in the world. There'll be someone who believes and connects to it. When I first started talking, like bringing faith into the mix of being an entrepreneur, and gave the first speech on what I call the return on investment of faith. It was at a conference that was the opening ceremony in Greece for Global Entrepreneurship Week, being broadcast to 150 countries, right? In the live audience, there were people from Italy and France, but also Palestine, Egypt, Israel. And the organizers were nervous. I was nervous, right? I was following the co-founder of Wikipedia, and normally when I do these types of talks, like everyone, I talk about the company or the product, but I was starting to feel like a fraud. So I forced myself and got on stage and talked about faith and God and how that works with entrepreneurship. And everyone loved it, of every race, of every religion. That's the faith aspect, right? If it was a clear, straight line, no risk, you know, easy step one, two, three, done, then what do you need faith for?
Yeah, that's right.
Right? You might be afraid, and that's why I said, you know, I've suffered for it. But that's okay. Like, suffering is part of the price to pay. Like, in every great spiritual work, there's some part of suffering in the story. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
All right, we have our next question. How did you know which business to start first?
How did I know which business to start first? For me, it goes to my imagination. So I'll typically have a very, very active mind, right? So I usually have so many things I would love to do before the day I die. And so usually at any given moment, there's something that's especially high in my imagination that I can't seem to shake. Like, for example, talking about faith and entrepreneurship as more and more countries, and even our own country, because when I was first an entrepreneur in the late 80s, it wasn't popular. Like, people thought you were crazy or irresponsible or trying to get away, you know, being a slacker or something versus doing a real job. As it's become more and more popular and I see people moving down that path of me or scarcity or greed, right, I felt so compelled to talk about bringing faith into the mix and bringing our inherent connection into the mix. But it was not natural for me in the beginning. Like, what's natural for me is to be that geek in a back room, like creating stuff and, you know, somewhat insular, because it takes so much time to create something from nothing. But I could not shake it. And so that's how I prioritize, like, those, my imagination, physical sensations, coincidences, like sort of convergence of opportunity. There's a flow to it. Like, I've never done any marketing for this, all the speaking I've been doing. I don't really have a website around it or an agent. It's just been from Global Entrepreneurship Week to Dr. Winston's group to the State Department, to just inbound. Like, God is a fantastic PR person, right? So look at the pattern of your inbound and prioritize against that.
Next question. How were you funded to fulfill your endeavors?
It's varied, but I'll tell you, for the backpack company, my partners and I had won a contest and got, this was the late 80s, right? $5,000 to start up the company. And, you know, that was quite a bit of money back then, especially as a student. I was around 19 or 20. And from that, we got the patent for the first one-strap backpack. We were in over 50 retail outlets. And that goes back, again, to storytelling. So it was just basic storytelling with conviction, with objectivity, with grace. Those are universal languages that any person in any country can connect to. Then for the digital radio, so I went from raising $5,000 for that to raising, like, our first raise was $670 million. And I used the same framework. Like, the original visionary for the concept of launching 3 satellites to cover the world. And remember, this is before Google, this is before iTunes, this is before a lot of people had cell phones or PCs. He had been trying for about 2 years. And again, I just went from the place of faith and started doing that storytelling until I found believers. But the storytelling was not about delivering information. It was not, which is what he had been doing, right? Which is, we have these licenses for this spectrum. We're going to build 3 satellites. For me, when I was telling the story, it was, imagine the world being able to speak to the world. Because back then, shortwave radio, a lot of countries were just, their content was state-owned TV. It's like, imagine if the world could speak to the world. And we got believers off of that and ended up doing the first raise. But what I used, as that 20-year-old versus I was 27 when we did the large raise, was the same framework. And in both cases with both companies, I didn't know what I was doing until I was doing it, right? But I knew I was meant to be doing it, like it connected with a dream. But trust and believe, my first day of work after we had raised the money and, in the conference room and people were high-fiving me and I really wanted to be head of international business development with no experience whatsoever to do that job, right? I get into my office, I close the door, and I have a panic attack because I don't even know where to start. From the satellites being built to, the tech compression technology, which we ended up investing in the MPEG, the MP3, MP4 instead of Dolby, for example, which was the big player back then. From content and the content that we ended up packaging for North America eventually became XM Radio. Like, had no idea that first day. So after I panicked, and was like, oh, I'm stressed, right? Then I meditated. That's always a good first step for me, right? I'm like, God, tell me just one thing I can do right now to start going down the path.
We have a few more questions. Mm-hmm. Next question is, I lack the education for my dream. Mm-hmm. Can you encourage me?
Yes. Don't worry about the education for your dream. Worry about whether or not the dream is truly your dream versus your parents or your teachers or your community. If it's your dream, it's possible for you, period. Like, how did the dream get there in the first place? Like, I literally believe that God, the universe, communicates through our imagination. Like, if you're able to manifest it in your head, then it's possible. And I'll restate that the majority of the startups that I've done, day one, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, it wasn't like I could draw from any class I took at Cornell or Harvard. I literally just didn't know what I was doing. Healthcare clinic didn't know, satellite radio didn't know, backpack company, didn't know. Didn't know. That's where the faith comes in. Thank you.
And the last question that I have, being an entrepreneur with multiple businesses, have you continued to have multiple streams of income, or did you end or sell any of the businesses? And if so, how did you know to sell it, or when to end it, or when to sell it?
Okay, so that's a great question, because when David was doing my intro, I do want to clarify that I am not doing all those things simultaneously right now. I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years. So some of them are in parallel, some of them are sequential. At each point in time, sort of when you're done, just like when it's a dream that you want to pursue. It won't feel right. You won't feel energized as much by it. I love creating, so the startup becomes a company versus having the day-to-day experience of being an entrepreneur. Depending on if you have partners, you know, in some cases you sell it back to your partner. In other cases, like the clinic in Ethiopia, I stopped doing that as far as operationally in 2013, so sort of 12 years in, I had stopped. But one of the other founding officers is still running the clinic in Addis, and then the local government is running the clinic in Dukem. And so in every scenario, and this is the thing about being an entrepreneur, there's no better way, and personally I think, to put your faith in action than to be an entrepreneur. Because for everything, really the answer is it depends. It's not a box. So you want the comfort of saying, you know, step one, step two, step three. And in reality, it's you have to go against what's happening in the moment, where the opportunity is or isn't, how you personally feel about it, and then act accordingly. There's not a template, you know. You have to be very comfortable with things being unpredictable and with going with your gut and intuition. Like, that has really served me well, so sort of being attuned to myself. Just like this experience, right? Like, when I did that first talk in Greece in November 2014, so it hasn't even been that long ago, I had no idea where it was going to lead. I was on stage with all these people that had agents and books, and not me, just like, you know, just felt compelled to tell this story. And in less than a year, I'd spoken all over the world. I had addressed the Italian Parliament. They wanted to know how they could apply faith to their startup community to accelerate their economy. And the State Department asked me to be a United States speaker. I didn't even know that they had a speakers bureau, right? If you had asked me then where I saw it going, I probably would have said, I don't know. But I knew that I was meant to do it. Where it will go from here, I don't know. What will be the exit of this, you know, experience? I don't know. But I'll know when I know. Yes. Do you know what I'm saying? And so if you can practice that in your life in little ways, in big ways, it's even the practice of, I'll finish on this. Like, people will ask me a lot, what does it mean to be a leader, right? And whether you're a leader of a team or a leader in a company, don't worry about that. What the most important thing in being a leader is leading yourself. If you do that and practice that in even small ways, like you feel something should be done a certain way, instead of staying silent on it, say something. Even if you're scared while you're saying it, the next time you'll be a little bit less scared, right? So thank you.
I think that was everybody, let's give a warm greeting and thank you to Tiffany Norwood.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you so much.